The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And we're back here to analyze this programming notes for tonight on the flagship WTJX Channel 12. We got the PBS News Hour at 7 p.m. Finding Your Roots at 8 p.m. Explore the Ancestry of Pamela Adlon and Catherine Hahn. Okay, that's from 8 to 9. American Experience from 9 to 10. Explore the remarkable life of solar power visionary pioneer Maria Telks. Okay, that's from 9 to 10. And then Frontline. Examine the commercial pressures, flawed design, and failed oversight behind Boeing 733 MAX jet and the crashes that killed 346. That's on Frontline from 10 to 11. And Point of View, POV, follow a defiant movement led by women of color as they fight for a truly reflective democracy. Okay? That's POV. So, PBS News Hour at 7, Finding Your Roots at 8, American Experience at 9, Frontline at 10, POV at 11, and I guess I'm important company going to kick in at midnight, even though time turned forward, right? I noticed that I'm important company a couple of days next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, they'll be on at 11 p.m. to midnight, you know, cause time turned forward. So don't forget now the programming tonight here on WTJX Channel 12. I want to thank Ron Phillips and Dwayne Henry for joining me for some Bush Tea discussion there. And to update us as to what's going on with infrastructure enhancements here in the Virgin Islands. Right now, I'm going to welcome to analyze this Ms. Caroline Polydor-Simon. Good morning, Ms. Polydor-Simon. How are you?
Hi, good morning. Actually, my name is Allegra Ken.
Allegra Ken, okay.
Caroline today.
Okay, you're filling in for Ms. Simon?
Yes, and I believe one of my colleagues is going to be joining in person. Hopefully, she'll be there shortly.
Okay, good. So, afternoon on the green, tell us about this.
Yes, well, we wanted to invite your listening audience out this weekend on Sunday. Afternoon on the green is the 17th. And it's from noon to 5 p.m. on UVI's Herman E. Moore Golf Course on St. Thomas. It's our annual community fundraiser event. We've been doing this for 32 years. And the benefits go to the Edward Thomas Volunteer Scholarship Fund, which provides scholarships for two high school students to attend UVI. So it's a wonderful event, open to the entire community. There's something for everyone. And We would invite everyone to come out and join us for the fun. We have lots of entertainment planned, lots of family-friendly activities. Really, there's something for everyone in the community to come out and enjoy.
Okay. Your colleague has joined us. She said to wait a little bit because she's pulling up some information there.
Okay. Well, I can also talk a little bit about the food portion of this event, because really it's a food-oriented event. For those who have attended before, you'll know that there's lots to eat and drink.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like a competition because everyone brings in their special dishes. They actually donate it, whether it's a main dish or a side dish, a pastry, even drinks, and all kinds of desserts. And so the community votes on those items. And so it's just a really fun event all around because there's lots to eat, lots of local food, sometimes international foods that you can try. And then you get to vote on the best dish.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, I'm looking at a UVI press release from 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And it says here that that year they were set to host the 26th edition of the Afternoon on the Green. So how long has it been going on?
Well, from my understanding, it's been going on for for 32 years.
Mm-hmm.
We did take a pause after the hurricanes, and then during the pandemic, there was a virtual edition.
Okay.
So last year was the first year we were back on the green since the pandemic, and so we've just been going strong ever since. We had record attendance last year with over 2,000 guests, and so we know everyone's excited about it, and we expect a big crowd.
Yeah, because I'm just doing some math here. if they were at the 26th edition in 2015, I mean that this thing started in 1990. Wow.
Yes, it dates back
that far.
So that's
awesome. And they said UVI is inviting the community to partake in food, family fun, and live entertainment. And the event commences from noon to 5 p.m. So the press release from 2015 is applicable in 2024?
It's true. Some things don't change. You know, it was on a Sunday. We always have it in March because it coincides with our celebration of UVI's Charter
mm-hmm,
Day
mm-hmm.
when UVI was first founded in 1962. So we celebrate Afternoon on the Green every year in March. It's always the same time, same place, and we do always try to outdo ourselves every year. So every year you'll see there's something new and something different.
Mm-hmm.
So we have wonderful bands. RVP Band and Shaw HP will be performing. We also have the UVI Steel Pan Ensemble, the Munga Niles Cultural Dancers. There's a car show. So that's a lot of fun. And this year, something new that we've done is included a best dressed and a hat competition. So we're really excited for that. If you're interested, your audience is interested, you could register in advance to participate in that competition at our website, aog.uvi.edu. So that's a new feature. We also have part of our Reichel Center team. They every year have been putting together different activities in the kids zone because, as you know, they're so used to building sets and all kinds of theater props and sets. And so they've created some really unique activities for the kids out on the field. So one of the new games that we're going to have this year is in honor of Dr. Hall, and it's called Tall as Hall, and it's going to be an engineering challenge. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Your name again, so I could, when I referenced it.
Okay, my name is Allegra Ken.
Allegra Ken, okay, good. You got it. Mm-hmm. Young lady, good morning, how are you?
Hi, good morning. Good morning, audience, listening audience.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
tell the public your name, man.
My name is Sophia Johnson. I work at UVI as the Alumni and Constituent Relations Director.
Okay.
But I am a very happy member of the Afternoon on the Green Planning Committee.
Okay.
Along with Allegra and a wonderful team.
How long have you been putting this together?
How long, Allegra? Maybe, what, 10 months? 9 months?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say all 12 months of the year. Maybe like 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to take a little break.
Yeah.
Because this is a big endeavor that we are proud of all the time. So, you know, we have to have a little break afterwards. So mm-hmm. maybe around 9 months.
Wow. So this is a big event that I got going on there.
It's like our own ag fair
mm-hmm.
for UVI.
Okay.
Imagine that on one day.
Mm-hmm. So now I'm looking at this 9-year-old press release. And you got prizes as well.
Yes, and I wanted to touch a little bit more on all activities that Allegra was talking about.
Mm-hmm. Pull that microphone down in front of you so that you're talking out to the side there.
Y'all can hear me better?
No, we can hear you good, but we want to hear you full.
Yes.
So that's what we're talking about. Go ahead.
Okay, perfect. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just to add to the activities that Allegra was sharing, in addition to the new game for Dr. Hall, they'll also have face painting and bouncy houses for the kids, go-kart demonstration, mini golf, foot billiards, carnival games, obstacle course races. So this event is really for the entire family. The adults get to eat, the kids get to play. Table tennis, doodle wall, and we're teaming up with the VI Children Museum, will also participate in activity, as well as different members of the UVI schools and colleges that will have interactive displays for all ages, sizes, everyone to participate in.
Okay. So let me go back to my press release from back in the day.
Back in the day press release.
Yeah, well, I when it said 2015, it kind of sentimental. I was a Senate president then.
Remember.
I used to come down to UVI because one of the benefits, that's what I'm gonna call it, one of the benefits of being a Senate president is you're on the endowment board. So you come down there and you're rubbing shoulders with all the big shots and the UVI president, the chief judge for the Superior Court, and Miss Mavis Gilchrist. She used to be the one in charge of that. So we go to that. Now, you mentioned Mungo Niles. The cultural dancers are going to be a part of this, Ms. Ken?
Yes, and they're a traditional, they're there every year.
Yeah, the name they are, the Mungo Niles cultural dancer, that's what I reference it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're there every single year, and so it's just part of the festivities.
And then I got the kids' village is a big part of this thing because it was mentioned here as well, you know what I'm saying? So... but back then, though, it had a mini parade with Volkswagens back then. Like any kind of car thing going on this year?
You know the cars will be out.
It had 25 vintage Volkswagens and Mustangs back in the day.
Yes.
So they're back again this year?
As Allegra says, some things don't change. They just get enhanced over the years.
That's what I'm talking about. And then, Ms. Ken... A lot of sponsors, man. The list of sponsors 9 years ago is a virtual who's who. So it looks like St. Thomas looks forward to the afternoon and the green event.
Mm-hmm. You're right. And at least some of the sponsors, like you said, you know, they don't change year after year, but we also do have new sponsors as well. But VIA has been a loyal sponsor for many years. VIA will be there, and many of them will have tents on the green. So the patrons can come out and get some goodies, learn about the different businesses. VI Council on the Arts, they are always a big supporter, of course, because this is an event that has a lot of entertainment and it's for the whole community. First Bank, Hogland VI, the VI National Guard, the Community Foundation of the VI, WTJX. Thank you very much. The BVI Tourist Board is there. The VI Department of Health really shows up in a big way. The maternal and child health clinic is there, and they put on lots of activities for the kids, as well as the communicable disease division is represented. Tradewinds Chiropractic, Paradise Chiropractic and Wellness Center is there. Of course, we need Waste Management Authority, and they're there to support us, as well as Custom Builders, the West Indies Company, and Bellows International. And we have the RT Park is also a sponsor, Charles Electric, Lou Henley Sewage Disposal. So we have all the players. Everyone is going to be there to represent their business and to support Afternoon on the Green. And we're thankful to all of our sponsors because we really couldn't put on the event without all of these wonderful sponsors. And everyone who's participating, all of the cooks, they're all donating their time, their, you know, all of the food that they prepare for the event to be a success. We have a lot of volunteers, over 150 every year, who come out and help serve the food, who help with the kids. So it really is an event that involves the entire community, everybody giving time to support a wonderful cause, which is our young people and their education and helping them get through college without having to worry about all the extra expenses. So it's really for a worthy cause. And we thank, you know, all the sponsors and all the volunteers who come out year after year.
So this is the big field when you pass Bonfield, Corwin Terrace, you're heading west towards the UVI, and this is that big field on the right-hand side there before you get to the main campus?
Exactly.
Okay. And how far up from the main road is a nice walk, or either right, it'll start right on the main road. Because if you taking on 2,000 people, that got to be a well, you know, thought out and comprehensively planned event.
Yes, well, there is a designated parking area, and I believe we're still looking for some help with parking attendance. So if you are interested in helping in that way, please contact our office. But yes, it takes up a large section of the golf course, because there's a stage, there's lots of different areas, there's the food tent areas, there are the kids sections, so we do take up a lot of area on that green.
Okay.
And we are still looking for cooks. So any last minute folks out there who are interested in donating a dish, a side dish, a dessert, a special drink that you made.
What about if somebody specializes in grilling and want to come down there and hook up a grill?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Thanks for reminding me. We do have a grill section, so that's also a possibility. So yes, we do invite any last minute cooks. Our deadline is Wednesday to sign up on our website at aog.uvi.edu, and the prizes, the cooks do receive prizes. So of course, in addition to the bragging rights of participating in this event and sharing your skills with the community, you do receive an apron branded with Afternoon on the Green, and the winner of the food competition will receive a portable MiFi device, compliments of VIA, and 1 year of service. So there's lots to gain from your participation.
Sophia, anything you want to say before we go to the break?
Yes, for sure. Allegra spoke about us being able to assist students fund their education through this amazing event.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, we are having the 2024 Edward E. Thomas Volunteer Scholarship. And this is a scholarship that we raise funds through this event to assist these students. We always have one student from the Ivana Eudora Ken High School in St. Thomas, as well as one student from the St. Thomas, Charlotte Amalie High School, mm-hmm. on St. Thomas as well. So we do, this is a friends raiser, and the monies go straight into a scholarship fund that get to bring two students to school each year. So we're very proud and happy about that.
So good. And Miss Ken, this is Tani Thomas we're talking about? Edward E. Thomas? The one and only Tani?
Yes, the one and only.
Yes.
Okay. Tani Thomas, good morning. Congrats on this. What we're going to do is take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk some more about putting the event together, some more about the history of it. We got Miss Allegra Ken and Miss Sophia Johnson. Afternoon on the Green takes place this Sunday, the 17th, right?
Yes.
Actual St. Patrick's Day event.
Correct.
Okay, you got it. And it's from noon to 5 p.m. The big green over there by UVI. You can't miss it. Golf course over there. So we'll take a break. Be back right after this.
Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
I'm Aisha Roscoe, host of Weekend Edition Sunday, where we're not just interested in what's going on in the world, but why it's happening and how. Details are important. So are different points of view. We're dedicated to bringing you the stories behind the big events and the small ones, too. Join us every Sunday morning for Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Weekend Edition, Sundays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Hi, I'm Peter Sagal. You spent the week listening to the news. Don't you think you deserve to show off what you've learned on Wait, we give you a chance to impress your friends with your knowledge of international incidents, political gaffes, and the latest advancement in German nudists. You'll be the life of the party or the death. Either way, you'll make an impression and you can thank Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Rita Moreno.
I wanted to be a movie star from the time I saw my first picture.
Who found her good times only after some really difficult ones.
Be proud, you Puerto Rican, be proud, you Puerto
Rican. I was often treated like a sex object.
Enjoy Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony winner, Rita Moreno. Just a girl who decided to go for it.
Very early on, I realized that getting attention was a very nice thing.
On American Masters.
Tune in Friday, March 8th at 10 p.m. on WTJX-TV, Channel 12.
And we're back here on Analysis. We've got Ms. Allegra Ken and Ms. Sophia Johnson joining us here on the show. Afternoon on the Green takes place this Sunday down at UVA. And we doing whatever we can to support a meaningful event here in the Virgin Islands, in this case, over in St. Thomas. Good morning, ladies. Glad to have you on.
Good morning.
Morning.
Okay, good. So let's go back to 2020. The pandemic actually hit around the same time that you normally have this event. If I could remember, March 13th was the date in 2020 when we had our first COVID-19 case. Did we have the event in 2020? Was that the last year? Did we get in before they shut down the territory?
Sophia, do you know? I'm not sure.
I don't think so. I think that's why we had to come strong in 2021 virtually. But in 2020, I believe that it was, we were right there, as you say, the 13th. Yeah. And then this event usually happens around this time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you had the event virtually in 2021.
In 2021.
Was it real? Was it in person in 2022 or 2020? Or this is the first in person going wrong since the pandemic?
We were definitely there last year, and Allegra, I believe we were there the year before, correct?
The year before, it was also it was virtual.
Oh.
So last year was the first year we were back in person, and that's why I think we had such a, like, an exuberant crowd. Everyone was just so excited.
Everyone was so ready.
To see us back on the green, so... we think this year is also going to be very, very exciting. And again, you know, we want to invite everyone to come out and join us. And there's going to be lots of stuff to do. And we were mentioning, you know, it does fall on St. Patrick's Day this year, just by coincidence. So everyone's going to be wearing their green. There'll be lots of fun themes going on throughout the day. So we invite you to come and celebrate, not just Afternoon on the Green, but St. Patrick's Day as well. And we're excited about the lineup of entertainment, all the activities that are happening. I can't wait to see the hat competition, because I know people are really coming up with some wild ideas, creative ideas for the hat. So I'm looking forward to that.
Sophia?
I was just about to say that. I was going to say, when you're getting your outfits together, do not forget the hat, because this will be our first year with the best dressed hat competition. So we are looking forward to that. And Allegra just mentioned about themes. I want to share our theme for this year: a fusion of flavors to savor and explore at Afternoon on the Green 2024. So from that theme alone, it already sounds like we're going to be eating some good food. We're going to be seeing some great things, a lot of variety of activities happening that day for this year Afternoon on the Green event. And how we get these themes is we open it to the entire UVI community for persons to submit their suggestion of what a theme, what the theme should be like. And we go through a process of vetting all of them. And sometimes we even join one suggestion to another suggestion to get this theme. So we try to make everything about this event as inclusive as possible and community driven. So we are excited about it. A fusion of flavors to savor and explore at Afternoon on the Green 2024.
Now, the student involvement, talk about that and how you get students to participate in an event, a meaningful event like this.
All right, so we have two sets of different student involvement. We have the UVI student involvement, which we're working with the student affairs component to have their students involved, whether it's volunteers, whether it's them having their own table, whether it's SGA. And this year I was rooting to have a student on the judging committee. I'm not sure if it made it all the way to the final judging table, but we'll definitely, if not this year, like to in the future have a student on the judging committee. And then there's the opportunity for other students to volunteer where they can sign up at aog.uvi.edu. So because this scholarship is a community hour scholarship as well, we request that the recipients are a part of the program and they're completing community hours. And we open up the event for all high school students who need to complete their community hours to be a part of it. So we have a great volunteer team that we have led by members of the committee, and we work with them throughout the day for students to be involved in everything.
Ms. Ken,
and I was going to add to that, also some of the entertainers are students, so the UVI Steel Pan Ensemble. We also have the UVI Buccaneer Tourlettes that are going to be performing. UVI Royalty will be there. So they are, the students are involved in almost every aspect of the event.
Correct.
No.
The culinary students as well, right? Sophia, the culinary students are involved in the food tent. So there's lots of different ways the students are involved.
Yeah, I'm looking at an article here from 2017 before the hurricanes, the March 2017 event. And I see where fraternities, Omega Psi Phi in this case, were out there. Being a part of this event.
Were they grilling in 2017? Because we do have the fraternities out on the grill.
We always have heavy traffic during Afternoon on the Green, so it's never a dull day, says Sean Georges, who manned the grill tent.
Sounds about right.
Along with other members from the Omega Psi Phi fraternity. But we took on this job years ago, almost as soon as the event got started, because we have a deep commitment to community engagement, and that's really what this day is all about.
Shout out to them.
So props to them and fraternities, what have you. So hopefully the sororities are a part of it as well. You know what I'm saying? Because they tend to move as a group. Who else we got here?
Yeah, well, it is one of our biggest outreach events of the year and a way for us to introduce UVI to a lot of young people as well. So one of the areas that is always very popular is our academics tent. So we have different departments that are going to be represented so they can talk to young people about different career options, different majors to study, and it's going to be interactive too. It's just not all talking. There's going to be presentations from the Marine Science Division. All kinds of different departments will be present, so it's a good way for UVI to introduce our programs to young people and to just be out there in the community and share what we have to offer.
What do you do at UVI, Ms. Ken?
I work in the public relations office.
Oh, I am making up.
So I need to send you a new press release.
Right?
I guess. How's your division?
We have a wonderful division. We have Tamika Thomas-Williams, who's our director, and she's been at UVI for many years. And we have Ms. Lois Rivera, that I'm sure you know, and Ryan Marone, who's our webmaster. So we have a small team, but we get the job done. And, you know, we'd love to stay in touch with you, keep you informed of everything that's happening at UVI.
Mm-hmm. And you? You live at Piarto, Sophia?
No.
I'm sorry?
No, and I'm asking, Sophia, what part of it? The part of this operation you're with?
I am in the same component as PR because we all fall under the institutional advancement component. Mm-hmm. But I am with the mighty, mighty alumni office,
okay,
as well as development.
Okay.
So I get to work closely with alumni, with my VP, interim VP of institutional advancement, Dr. Pamela Molina-Wersey.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to have all types of events. We just came off of our alumni soiree, one in St. Croix, one in St. Thomas this past weekend. So that was pretty exciting. And other members of my team, of our team, is Ms. Sherilyn Brown. She helps us get all the gifts in because we also deal with development. We also deal with fundraising as well. We work with Asia Canton, who makes sure our database is clean. So when we're sending out email blasts and we're calling people, we're calling the right people at the right time. Miss Caroline Polydor Simon, she also works with fundraising.
Why
major
she that,
gifts.
Because she was supposed to be at this, man.
We had to divide and conquer. She's on another radio station right now.
Oh, okay. So she abandoned the IE for somebody else?
She,
oh.
We had to cover ground, man. We had to cover ground. And lastly, but surely, we have Miss Astrid Carmona Tewitt, who just helps us with everything possible that she could get her hands on.
That's good. That's good.
And of course, there's the Reichel Center that's also part of our component. And so even though they're still under construction, their team is busy, involved in all kinds of activities, you know, definitely afternoon on the green, but they're planning an upcoming concert on St. Thomas, so they're still very much involved in planning events and doing and promoting the arts.
No, we didn't in March of 2024, and I looking outside my vista right now, and it's an absolutely perfect day in the Virgin Islands. Given the timing for this event, I know it's a local event and all that stuff, but shouldn't we be, you know, looking at marketing this event to get even greater involvement outside of the Virgin Islands, maybe the BVI and some folks who might be in Florida or live in Virgin Islands who live in on the East Coast want to come down for a weekend? Mm-hmm. You think there'll ever be a day where afternoon on the green could take the next step, Ms. Ken?
That's a great idea. Thanks for that marketing idea, and maybe there will come a day when that can happen. That would be wonderful.
Because I'm just looking to get people here to the territory, because we make the bulk of our tourism money between November and April, November and May, for obvious reasons. The weather is always perfect here, and it's not perfect up on the mainland. So I'm just looking at, you know, my mind just, mm-hmm, you know, thinking about maxing out, you know, why the Virgin Islands is the joint at this particular time.
Yes, I think there's potential for the event to grow.
Tourism is one of the sponsors?
I know that they've been a sponsor for many years.
Mm-hmm.
This year, it didn't work out that way, but I believe they have been a longtime sponsor, so there is a possibility, you know, of collaborating with them to make it an even bigger event.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Failey still working at UVI?
Mr. Failey?
Yeah. The universities. This is the 17 article that I'm reading on the source. There's a Sokolov Entrepreneurship at UVA.
Oh, okay. I don't believe he is still with UVI.
Okay.
No.
But is the entrepreneurship still in effect at UVI?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And what's that about?
Well, you know, we might have to get back to you on that. I know that there is a new person in that position, but I have to get more information.
Okay, good. Now, Ms. UVI played a part in this. Miss UVI going to be a part of the... well, in fact, do we have a Miss UVI for 23-24?
Well, we have a competition coming up.
Okay, talk about that then.
Let me get the information for you right now.
Yeah,
because we were supposed to have it a little bit before, but mm-hmm. we were able to reopen it up to have another to have other competitors involved.
Oh, okay, good.
So we are excited about it. Mm-hmm. It's going to be here on St. Croix because it's interchangeably. One time it's on St. Thomas, the other time it's on St. Croix.
Yes,
so this year it will be April 6th on St. Croix.
Miss UVI.
April 6th on St. Croix, starting at 6 o'clock p.m. Mm-hmm. So this is a little plug to the student affairs for the student affairs team on both St. Thomas and St. Croix. Please come on out and look at these wonderful ladies. And I'm 100% sure that the contestants will be, I mean, I say 100%, but I am sure the contestants will try their best to be there at the Afternoon on the Green event.
That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I just showed you a photo from the 2017.
Wow,
event.
Right?
Yeah.
Back in the day. Yes.
This is a nice setup I got here.
It's nice. Yeah, it really is nice.
And it's going to look better this year because we've been getting rain. So we ain't gonna, I remember in 2015.
Green.
Yeah. I remember in 2015 we were going through a drought.
Yeah.
And Senator Millen Young had actually moved an appropriation to get some money to address to help the farmers and stuff. But St. Thomas lime green now, right, Miss Ken? With all the rain?
It's green.
No, I'm telling you, in previous years we've been struggling. So I'm glad that the territory, at least here on the St. Croix side, we're green.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's a good thing. So to wrap up the conversation, Ms. Ken, you ready for Sunday?
We are ready, and we are welcoming everyone to come out and join us. We don't want any rain, so we are planning to have a beautiful sunshiny day Sunday from 12 to noon out on the Hermony Moore Golf Course for our annual fundraiser Afternoon on the Green. Wear your green outfit. Don't forget to create a beautiful hat so you can be part of our hat competition.
And it is literally on Green Day. It's on St. Patrick's Day.
Correct.
It's on St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm.
So cool.
We have lots of wonderful entertainment lined up. So come out. For those of you who are into the cars, we have the car show, face painting, cultural games for the kids, table tennis, so many things for young people to do. And, of course, it's all to benefit the Edward Thomas Volunteer Scholarship Fund to help two high school students pay for college. So
that's what we're talking about. I like that.
A great event all around.
Thank you. Ms. Johnson, thank you very much for joining us. Congrats, you did good.
Good.
And the UVA Alumnus,
yes,
right? Association,
yes,
right?
Yes,
Alumnus Association.
Yes.
Glad to have you here. Good luck on Sunday, okay?
Yes, of course. Thank you so much. We're looking for cooks. We're looking for dishes. For
everything. I'll come in.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And Wednesday's the deadline.
Yes.
Okay. So contact UVI for that.
Yes.
Talk to you ladies. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
We'll take a break and be back right after this.
You need a moment to just step back, relax, and listen to your favorite song. I'm Raina Duris, and on the next World Cafe, maybe I can help you find something new to love, or maybe remind you of something you've been missing. There's so much music out there to enjoy, so take a moment, take a breath, and tune in to World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
So I spent the past year trying to figure out what news designed for 21st century humans might look like. one of the things that really stuck with me was that we now know that humans actually need hope to get up in the morning. And I don't think as a journalist I ever thought about it that way.
We're always looking for new and better ways to understand the world we live in. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
UVI's annual fundraiser, Afternoon on the Green, is back on Sunday, March 17th from noon to 5 p.m. on the UVI Golf Course on St. Thomas. Enjoy mouthwatering dishes, music by RVP Band and Shaw HP, plus face painting and bouncy houses for the kids. Register online for the best dress and hat competition. Visit aog.uvi.edu. Sponsored by VIA, VI Council on the Arts, Hogland VI, and First Bank.
As the news gets more complex and changes through the day, you need more than just a quick headline check. Here and Now keeps you connected to your world between Morning Edition and All Things Considered, as the news and the people shaping it are changing in real time. I'm Robin Young. Follow along on Here and Now, NPR News weekday afternoons.
From 2 to 4 on WTJX FM, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
We're back here, analysis. I want to thank the UVA folks there. They got a big event coming up on this Sunday, St. Patrick's Day, over there on St. Croix, the Herman E. Moore Golf Course, to support the Edward E. Thomas Scholarship for two high school students to further education. Good event, right? So if you're on the rack on Sunday, right, head down to UVA, and you'll see the tents and all that stuff and support. A good event. I got my good friend Dwayne Henry joining me again to wrap up the show. A couple of things I want to talk about. Number one, this discussion that we had with Ron Phillips from the Waste Management, and then also something to do with what Trump wants to do with his New York case that we didn't get to deal with in detail. Let's first talk about why it's important on the local front for us to be a little bit more focused as it relates to our infrastructure needs here in the Virgin Islands. Now, Dwayne, you and I were children, 9, 10, even younger than that, 6, 7, 8 years old, when Governor Evans was our first elected governor in 1970, right? And one of his complaints, you know, and we have the benefit of hindsight looking back, was that we were in the middle of a population tripling, right? Mm-hmm. And the revenues and the resources that were being made available to him simply weren't there, right? So he was being candid. At the time, we may have deemed how he was looking at it as being insensitive. But in reality, he was just managing a real-time situation, right?
Yes.
And when we think of what's taking place in Christiansted now and is going to be a territory-wide thing, We really need to pick up our game in terms of planning, you know, Dwayne. We've heard Basil Attlee over the years, Myron Jackson, all this stuff. A lot of these guys who work in DPNR with you, right? Mm-hmm. And we like to focus on all these high profile agencies, finance, health, education, but we need to really pick up our game in terms of planning and natural resources, you know, Dwayne.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, DPNR, you know, in its heyday, did a lot of good works, especially regarding the refinery and WAPA and Gianel and them in the clean air program. Did a lot to, you know, these are unsung heroes. Howie Brown and them down there, Cecil Williams in the air program, Leslie St. Thomas, I forget her last name now. Mm-hmm. Was a very smart woman. Leslie Leonard. They, let me tell you, they cleaned up this. Where we were, as somebody that grew up in Shabbat, I remember that black soot every day. You know?
Yeah, man.
And like I said, and it say they clean all that up. They got a lot of stuff has improved dramatically from what it used to be. I don't know what's going on in the department now. I know they've had a big exodus of some of their
And that's an agency that is
institutional knowledge.
The majority of the agency is federally funded, isn't it?
Yes, almost every section. I think the only section that's not federally funded might be SHPO, Historic Preservation. Everybody, Fish and Wildlife is 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Environmental Protection is 100%.
I know you're looking outside. I know you're looking outside today. Today's one of them picture perfect day that'll make you really appreciate why we got to make sure our environment and our infrastructure is up to snuff. Mm-hmm. I mean,
and let me tell you something. A lot of the water improvements have also come through DPNR and Harold Marks program over the years.
Mm-hmm.
That whole, we were talking about the Midland Road.
Wow.
That was, most of that money came from DPNR when they redid the Midland, remember?
And Public Works. It was Midland and Public Works. Pedro Encarnacion. Yeah, me Pedro Encarnacion, Juan Figueroa Seville, Randy Russell. Mm-hmm. Positive Nelson at the time, Norman yeah. Jean-Baptiste, Uchi Richards, we were the 7 St. Croix Senators. And Midland Road in the early part of the new millennium, that went bad cheap.
Absolutely horrible. Christian said
when they were digging it up. Look, Christian said when they were Christian said when they were digging it up, right? Can't compare to how bad Midland Road was when it was really
totally
bad.
Totally impossible. Me know how Frontline made and Annalie Farms made money.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Cobble, remember?
Yes, sir.
Cobble is still horrible.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Cobble was absolutely insane.
No, but check this out, though. Check this out, though, right? I have a good relationship with Adrian Williams Acklin, and to talk about engineering, right? Mm. If there was ever a area that could serve as a pilot project for teaching those who want to engineer in farmland, specifically road construction, right? Mm-hmm. All they got to do is go down in that Havland area, down in Bethlehem, that whole area there, right? And that's a class, because those roads, they going to buckle quicker than other areas for obvious reasons, because it's farmland. So it requires a special type of engineering, right?
Yes, the water table is very high in that area.
Exactly, like, you know what I'm saying?
So 5-6 feet and you hit water.
Yeah, man, yeah. And again, they need, that's attention to detail. You know what I mean? They need that kind of treatment. So you know, we're hoping territory-wide. I know Eddie Bruce told me that some of the paving that they did on St. John has held up well over the years, but that's a different type of terrain. You know what I'm saying? Over there,
right.
You know, they got mountainous thing. Our thing here is more flat, all that stuff. So
the water will settle.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And not only that, you know, weirdly enough, and as you head west, it gets mountainous on the northern side, right? And water, right? Water going to run down, right? And water seeking the path of least resistance, right?
Yes.
And Williams Delight, Carlton, Wim, Hannah's Rest, all of them, that's where water going to settle. You know what I'm saying? Yes. So that's another study. That's another area for study that could allow for us to be leaders of the region and America. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. So
there's a lot. We have a lot of opportunities for different types of civil engineering.
Mm-hmm.
So many of us, the kids and stuff have gone away, and many of them are engineers. My great niece is an engineer, got a degree from University of Central Florida in civil engineering, and she's in Florida. You know, she hasn't come back home. There's so much of that. But part of it is our salary structures. I mean, we can't. What we have here, I think, especially in government salaries, is the people at the top make decent salaries, and it's probably proportional to what it should be, right? People say, oh, commissioner, I'm making so much money. I think that's probably what they should be making. Some of them actually making less than for comparable positions.
Well, I did some of the research there for that for civil engineers because I walk in on something that I want to broach. I want to broach, right? And civil engineers made a median salary, this is in America, of $89,940 in 2022, right? The best paid 25% made $117,540, while the lowest paid 25% made $74,330. Now, right, when we look in at wanting to attract engineers to come to the Virgin Islands, because our recovery, we got to accelerate it. You know what I mean? We're at a point now where we're 5-6 years in, and we really, well, 7 years in come September, and we need to figure out how we could accelerate what we're dealing with, right? So if you want, if you want to attract engineers to come here, right, you can't start at the entry level because the cost of living, you know, without a doubt, my partner, right? My godfather, but he said his wife, right? His wife and daughters were here. He said never. He called. He was talking yesterday. He said $17 for bacon. Are you in St. Thomas, right?
He said,
he said $17 for bacon. I said, B, you use bacon, but don't you, right? Our commodity that we don't use to determine how good and how bad things be is canned beef, okay? Right? And we've been battling for the longest, right, with our prices. And I told him, it's all about the greedflation, man. You know what I'm saying?
It is.
Yeah, these folks could never get enough, and hopefully, you know, after they've made enough profits, you know, look, last night, Marvin Pickering was saying, Aramco, right, which is the oil people them over there in Dubai and all that stuff, right? Their net profits for 2023, only $120 billion net.
Only yeah, 120. This is why they need government help because they weren't making any money.
And they were less. And that was less than the year before. You know what I'm saying? So the same people making money. Quickly, right? Let's get back to the Bragg case.
Yes.
At what point does the Bar Association, or let me ask this question. Must there be a filing of the Bar Association with the Bar Association about these frivolous attempts that lawyers make when they're representing people? Because let me tell you something I'm doing, right? Remove the Paulson, right? And in this case, every day is a Trump legal matter that we talk about, right? Or that we're hearing about. The haves and have-nots that you talking that you spoke about just now with salaries, right? It applies in the legal realm as well. If you got money, you could delay justice to the point where before you know it, there is no case. And
that's the strategy.
And the two-tiered approach where if you have money and resources to do that, isn't that creating just a deeper divide in a polarized nation to begin with?
Unfortunately, in our system of government, in our society, that's one of the things you can do if you have money, you know, in a capitalist society. You know, those with the greater means can achieve more.
But gaming the system like this is not good, though, because what's going to happen is people who family, right? Uh-huh. People who got family members who got to go through that system and their cases are being adjudicated with rapid speed. And they're asking a legitimate question, but wait a minute. My nephew or my child, my niece just get charged 3 weeks ago and they got into trial in 45, 60 days. A man get indicted 8-9 months ago and can't hear the first opening statement yet. What's going on?
That's true. You know, I have to say, as a practicing attorney, that it sometimes that works for people who don't have means. And, well, let me put it this way.
Give me an example of lack of means actually benefiting.
If you have a public defender where you don't have to pay, and I got my good friend Hannibal O'Brien, you know, one of the best criminal defense lawyers in the island.
Mm-hmm.
he uses that technique sometimes, and he was a public defender for 20 years.
Easily.
You know, he was successful at using it. But I dare say, on the civil side, though, that's it. You know, in the criminal side, here you can get that because we have a robust public defender system here,
mm-hmm.
for office. But there's lots of places in other parts of the country where that's not true. You know, where it's skewed totally in favor of people with money.
Now we're seeing a lot of appeals pre-trial that normally takes place post-trial. Why is that being allowed? Is it because of who the person is?
There's a lot of appeal. You mean like with Trump, where it's you see, not every of those appeals, not every thing you can appeal pre-trial.
Mm-hmm.
Most of it you have to wait till after. But there's a thing called an interlocutory appeal.
Yeah, we've been hearing that a lot now. Yeah,
right. Which comes up to if it's going to be dispositive of the case. If that appeal, if you win an appeal, your case wouldn't be tried anyway. They have to hear that appeal. They're not going to make you go through a trial when you should not have been tried.
But how can you make an immunity argument for something you did prior to an election?
Immunity is one of the areas that if you do have the immunity, you should not be tried.
I'm talking about a clear case like this where what you did was about an election before you even swore in. I mean, mm-hmm. why would this even have legs?
Well, in Trump's case, what he's doing is trying the whole kitchen sink out there.
Okay. So we shouldn't use this. What are you saying? We shouldn't use this as an example from the standpoint of what normally happens.
That's
in jurisprudence.
Correct. This is an extreme thing.
Okay.
He is fighting to not to even be tried. So his lawyers are coming up with all these arguments.
Could it be because to go back to
the question you asked earlier,
yeah.
The judges can impose sanctions for frivolous motions.
Okay. Because you know in house race when you claim a foul, right? And the foul is disallowed, they'll find the jackie for a frivolous claim. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it's the same application.
There are sanctions that and then also you could file complaints with the disciplinary council, at the Supreme Court. You could file, if you're trying a case right now, you could, as an attorney you could, or a party, you can move for sanctions in the course of the trial.
Okay, good. We got to wrap up. We'll pick it up later this week. Keep an eye on it. Yes. Keep a note of that. We'll talk. Talk to you tomorrow. Be good and be safe, everyone. And good luck this weekend with Afternoon on the Green in St. Thomas. Be back tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
Hi, I'm Peter Sagal. You spent the week listening to the news. Don't you think you deserve to show off what you've learned on Wait, we give you a chance to impress your friends with your knowledge of international incidents, political gaffes, and the latest advancement in German nudists. You'll be the life of the party or the death. Either way, you'll make an impression and you can thank Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. I wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.